A very cheerful good morning to all the listeners of the broadcast. I'm certainly happy to be coming your way once again. I realize that we're living in a time when there's much confusion in the world. So many things are uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, nor what may be the condition of world affairs. But friends, you don't have to be in confusion and perplexed and disturbed when it comes to this matter of serving the Lord, even though we're living in a world of many doctrines, many theories, many beliefs, many new ones are even springing up. But it's a wonderful thing for the mind and heart to be at peace, to be at peace with God, and to know that all is well with your soul and your Creator, that you know God's will, and that you're willing and ready to do it. Now, do you have this assurance that you know God's will for your life? There's so many beliefs, as I say. You need to know what God wills for you, and you need to be willing to do that. In fact, there's a scripture here that says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he is torn, and he will heal us. He is smitten, and he will bind us up." Then it goes on, this in Hosea 6 and 1, the third verse says, or at least a part of it that I like so well, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." So, dear ones, if you really want to know the Lord and his will, you can do that. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." John 7:16-17. So if you will to do his will, you're willing to do it. "The willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land," Isaiah tells us. Why, then the Lord will reveal his will to you. I'm very much impressed with this story here in the 9th chapter of the book of John about this man who was born blind. He had never seen. He'd been blind all of his life. But one day, Jesus came along, and something marvelous happened in his life. It so happened that it was on the Sabbath day, and some of the folks complained about it. But what a little thing in comparison to the marvelous work of healing God did for him that day. So, after Jesus had anointed his eyes, he went and washed, and he came back, and he was just seeing things around him. He was just rejoicing. And isn't that the way it is when the Lord touches a life and touches a heart and opens their spiritual eyes of understanding? How marvelous it is for them to see the works of God. But the people started asking, "Why, are you the one that was blind? Is this the same one?" And the Pharisees became concerned about it. Of course, they were envious against Jesus. So they called in his parents and wanted them to tell him whether or not it was their son, and if he was blind, and who healed him and all. Well, they finally said that, "We know it's our son, and we know that he was born blind, but we just can't tell you how he sees now. He is of age." Well, it had already been made up, the Pharisees had, that they were going to put anybody out of the temple that confessed that this Jesus had was the Christ. So they just turned it over to their son. Well, he didn't have to want for words or testimony. They still didn't believe. But let me just point out, they questioned him some more, wanted to know, "What about this?" He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not," speaking about Jesus. "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." John 9:25. I like that testimony, don't you? They were just trying to pin him down, and maybe, you know, "You weren't born blind," or maybe this, maybe that. But he wasn't perplexed about it at all. He said, "One thing I know." Friends, there are some things you need to know. And the most important thing is that you know Christ, the Savior. In fact, this man just preached him a sermon. He wanted to know, "Well, did anybody ever hear of a man being born blind that was healed and restored to sight? And how come you don't know this man that can do such a marvelous thing?" Well, they just cast him out of the temple. But this testimony, I like you to keep that in your mind. These four words, one thing I know. He just held right on to that. They could just say what they please, do what they may. He just held right on to it. One thing I know. I know I was blind and now I see. Listen to this poem, which says the blind man's testimony. He stood before the Sanhedrin. The scolding rabbis gazed at him. He recked not of their praise or blame. There was no fear. There was no shame. For one upon whose dazzled eyes the whole world poured its vast surprise, the open heaven was far too near, his first day's light too sweet and clear, to let him waste his new-gained kin on the hate-clouded face of men. But still they question, who art thou? What hast thou been? What art thou now? Thou art not he who yesterday sat here and begged beside the way, for he was blind. And I am he, for I was blind, but now I see. He told the story o'er and o'er. It was his full heart's only lore. A prophet on the Sabbath day had touched his sightless eyes with clay and made him see who had been blind. Their words passed by him like the wind, which raves and howls, but cannot shock the 100-fathom rooted rock. Their threats, their fury, all went wide. They could not touch his Hebrew pride. Their sneers at Jesus and his band, nameless and homeless in the land. Their boasts of Moses and his Lord, all could not change him by one word. I know not what this man may be, sinner or saint, but as for me, one thing I know, that I am he who once was blind and now I see. They all were doctors of renown, the great men of a famous town, with deep brows wrinkled, broad and wise, beneath their wide phylacteries. The wisdom of the East was theirs, and honor crowned their silver hairs. The man they jeered and laughed to scorn was unlearned, poor, and humbly born, but he knew better far than they what came to him that Sabbath day, and what the Christ had done for him. He knew, and not the Sanhedrin. And friends, you may be a little surprised who wrote that poem. John Hay, Secretary of State under President McKinley. Well, thank the Lord for John Hay. It might be interesting for us to know a little more about this man who seemed to be a deeply religious person. Would to God that we had more men in government positions and in high office who had a great respect for the Word of God and the teachings of the Bible. Now, this John Milton Hay was born October the 8th, 1838, near Salem, Indiana. Went to Brown University. And as just a young man, he was admitted to the bar. And soon after this, he became Assistant Secretary to President Lincoln. In fact, later he wrote a book on the life of Abraham Lincoln. And he was engaged in work on the New York Tribune. He was on the editorial staff as time went by. At one point in life, he was appointed Ambassador to England by President McKinley. And, in fact, later became the Secretary of State. Now, it was under this Secretary of State, John Milton Hay, that a special treaty was worked out through the ambassador to the U.S. from Britain, Lord Pottsford, Secretary of State, and he worked out a treaty between the two countries, the U.S. and Britain, pertaining to the construction of the Panama Canal. That might be of interest to you, too. This treaty gave to the U.S. control of the canal, vesting the sole power of guarantee of its neutrality in this country. And it was under the treaty that the work was taken up and promoted without interruption. So that's one of the steps in attaining the building of the Panama Canal. So, as I say, it seems that this man was a deeply religious person, and we thank God for men who have seen and known, who have understood the work of God and the Bible and the teaching. So thank the Lord for this Secretary of State. Hey, getting back to the thought here of knowing some things before God, though, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that our Redeemer liveth? Do you know this? Do you know from a personal experience that you've been redeemed? By what reason do you know if you've been saved? How can you tell? Well, there are many, many reasons, my dear friends, how you can tell whether or not you're born again and whether or not you're saved. Let me just point out a few from the Scriptures. In 1 John 3:14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." In other words, we have a love for that which is good, and those who obey the Word of God and serve Him. By this, we know that we pass from death unto life because we have a love for those who do the will of God. Here's another good reason why we know this, and hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, "I know Him," and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's quite plain, isn't it? But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. 1 John 2:3-5. So, that's another way you can know that you're serving the Lord, if you're keeping His commandments. And in 1 John 4:13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." So the Spirit bears witness with ours that we are the sons of God, and God bears witness with us through that Spirit. There are some other no's in the Bible. "And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." 1 John 5:15. And again, going on down to verse 18, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad that we can know that God will keep His children free and serving Him. Verse 19 goes on to say, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." Oh, it's wonderful to know. Our Father, thank You for the Scriptures and the promises and the Spirit of God, which helps us to know the will of God. Bless the message today to the good of every listener, and for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give You the praise in Jesus' name. And so, friends, once again, we come to the close of another broadcast. The pleasure is mine. May God bless and keep you always, every day. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.